You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy weekend, happy Sunday, and Timberwolves game day. This is the post-game podcast from Saturday's loss to the Trailblazers, and also, not as much of a preview because they're playing the same team, but the Wolves play this evening on Sunday against the Blazers. So, of course, we'll have a post-game pod that will post early Monday morning as well, recapping that game and talking about key takeaways. So this will be a pretty quick-hitting pod. There were a couple of pretty significant takeaways from the game on Saturday, mostly related to the Wolves' defensive coverage and rotation. So I want to get into that pretty quickly here. And again, we'll keep it short and sweet with the game this evening as well. A reminder, you can subscribe to Locked On Wolves anywhere you get podcasts. That includes, of course, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, also Google Podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. It's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And at B Beacon. That's B Beacon. Two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Okay, so the Wolves lost this one 125 to 121. But, I mean, didn't play horribly. The first half wasn't great. The second half was a lot better. And the Wolves kind of went back and forth with the Blazers for the entirety of the second half, held a lead for a while, led by one going to the fourth quarter. Really hard to complain with the overall effort in this game. And so... You know, we'll talk about key takeaways here in a minute. I guess the overall flow of the game for this one, the Wolves got down by double digits early once again. They were down 9 at the end of the first quarter. Defense was an issue, and it was clear early on. And this is one of my main takeaways, so I'll just kind of briefly touch on it now, but get into it more here next segment. But the Wolves changed their pick and roll coverage really for the whole game. Instead of playing drop coverage, they were showing high on screen and roll. And that meant that their bigs obviously had to show, they had to play higher. And that's not something that the Wolves have done really at all since David Vanterpoel's been on the staff the last couple of seasons. And so this was an adjustment, and it actually wasn't at the point of attack. I mean, so Towns was the big primarily, obviously early in the game, that had to, instead of drop, play higher. Instead of dropping down to free throw line level or even lower, he was playing above the free throw line on most screen and rolls, and actually did an okay job. The problem was that the backside help wasn't there, and I think that contributed a little bit to rotations later in the game. I mean, you look at starting power forward Jared Vanderbilt played 13 minutes in this game, and Jaden McDaniels only played 21. Naz Reid only played 14, and we'd seen a lot of Towns and Naz Reid minutes together last game when they won the other night against the Pelicans. So I think the lack of ability to rotate on the backside hurt the Wolves early in the game, certainly, but impacted Chris Finch's rotations as the game went on. And Lillard had 7 assists in the first quarter. He had 10 for the game, but 7 came in the first quarter, and I think 6 of them were to Enes Kanter on pick and roll, where he was rolling and Towns was busy showing on Lillard, which makes a lot of sense with Damian Lillard, but Vanderbilt or whomever the backside coverage was, wasn't rotating fast enough. And Kanter had double digit points in the first half and finished this game with 20 and 11, but I think he was double figures in the first quarter, and they were all just easy buckets in the pick and roll and not necessarily Kat's fault. So we'll get more into that here next segment, but the Lillard to Kanter thing really got the Blazers going. I think Lillard only attempted 2 shots in the first quarter because the Wolves changed up their coverage, and perhaps the Blazers weren't expecting that. I'm sure they weren't. But they just took what the Wolves gave them, and that meant the Blazers had a 33-24 lead after the first quarter. The Wolves figured things out a little bit, though, as the game wore on. But more importantly, or not more importantly, but I guess the more notable thing was that the offense actually really kind of started clicking after the first part of the game where it was pretty sluggish. The Timberwolves offense ended up being pretty good. They scored 33 in the second quarter. They scored 37 in the third quarter, and then were outscored by 5 in the fourth quarter. Obviously, giving up 125 on the night isn't what you want to see. But again, the offense really improved as the game wore on. Timberwolves went on a 12-0 run in the third quarter. They got a lead, a 2-possession lead at one point in the third quarter. They were up 1 going to the fourth, built a multi-possession lead in the fourth quarter as well. And then the Blazers went on their own run, which was, I think, 10-0 or 12-2 in the fourth quarter to to knot this thing up and then take their own two possession lead. And that's kind of what it was the rest of the way. The Wolves continue to play the same defense, but the Blazers actually ran a lot of offense through Carmelo Anthony, and the Wolves are forcing him into some really tough shots, mostly mid-range jumpers, which of course Melo is more than comfortable shooting, and he made enough of them to keep the Blazers ahead of the Wolves down the stretch. Portland went to Robert Covington, old friend, former Timberwolf Robert Covington, he's their small ball five. He's their backup five. So down the stretch, even though Kanter finished this game with 20 points, down the stretch, Covington was primarily their center during their run in the fourth quarter. And the Timberwolves offensively did try and run their offense through Karl-Anthony Towns, which they try and do anyway, but certainly should do when he's being guarded by Robert Covington. But Portland was doubling on every single post catch, and Cat was mostly making the right decisions. He was being patient. And really throughout the first half to three quarters of the fourth quarter, Towns was making all the right reads. I mean, he scored a little bit, but he was mostly facilitating, had a couple of hockey assists where he was kicking the ball out and was swinging to an open shooter. And I actually thought the Wolves handled that fairly well. Towns maybe could have been a little more aggressive because sometimes the double came late. They weren't obviously doubling him on the perimeter. So if he wasn't catching on the low block, he had a minute to, you know, make a move and draw the double, whether it's drive to the basket, get up a jumper before the double comes. I think Towns could have been a little more aggressive in those situations. Ultimately, though, the Wolves hung in this game and were within, I think, 4 points with a couple minutes left. And then the last couple minutes of the game, the Wolves' offense was a little bit rushed. It seemed like they were, frankly, the Timberwolves haven't been in that many close games lately. And it's not that they were like not playing well. It's not like it seemed like they were jittery because it was a close game or whatever. It just seemed like the offense was being rushed. It was a 3-point game with 2 minutes left. And the Timberwolves just didn't really string solid offensive possessions together. They got it back to 3 points with a minute left after a pair of Anthony Edwards free throws. And then the Blazers had the ball with just under a minute to play, 3-minute game. And the Wolves actually scrambled really well defensively. They covered everywhere they needed to cover. Carmelo, who had been just jacking up shots for pretty much the entire fourth quarter, made an awesome, almost a touch pass to a cutting Derek Jones Jr., cutting back door. And the Timberwolves just didn't quite get the rotation right. I think I'd have to watch it back again, but I believe Anthony Edwards kind of took a step in the wrong direction to go cover a 3-point shooter or a potential 3-point shooter. But Jones made a great cut, and the Timberwolves backside again couldn't recover, and the Blazers got a dunk. That made it a 5-point game. Wolves came down and Towns couldn't score past the double team in the post, and that was basically it. But this was defensively, the Wolves played really hard in this game. The Blazers are just a really good offensive team, and the Timberwolves in playing a new coverage and rotations, which I'll get to next segment, down the stretch, your power forward was Jake Layman for down the stretch, which is fine. I'm not criticizing the rotation. It was just different. And, you know, you're giving up some size, which again, for those moments when Covington was playing the four, you can stand to do that. Covington was playing the five. It was just a different unit and a different coverage. And it's understandable why it didn't work all the way around. It didn't fire on all cylinders. And then Damian Lillard, didn't score much in the first half. Really was deferring. He didn't have any assists after midway point of the third quarter because he was going into, it was just straight Dame time, and he was trying to score. Wasn't super efficient in this game, but he did enough down the stretch. There was a play where he split the defense on a pick and roll and just made an extremely difficult scoop layup in traffic. Those types of plays are things you can't really defend. So this was a combination of the Wolves playing a new scheme, a little bit of a different rotation, and playing a really good offensive team. This is a team that's they're sixth in offensive rating league wide. They're second in 3-point or ninth in 3-point shooting percentage, second in 3-point attempts per game. They're also one of the better free throw shooting teams in the league. And the Wolves had issues fouling early. And then I'll get into this next part. Next segment is some of the Wolves' issues on the glass and turning the ball over and things like that. But this was only a 4-point game. So grand scheme of things, no Malik Beasley, no D'Angelo Russell. And no Jarrett Culver. So some additional perimeter defense that was missing. The Timberwolves played them tough in this game. And they should have every expectation of being right in the game on Sunday when they play again. So we'll get into those key takeaways, a little bit more about the defense, some of the issues that the Wolves encountered, and then also the rotation next before we do individual studs and duds. So that's coming up next. March Madness is here. Today is Selection Sunday, and that means bracket challenges. Join our Locked On Listener Bracket Challenge group on ESPN. Submit your March Madness picks, beat your favorite hosts, and if you win, you will get a guest appearance on Locked On Today, our daily news podcast. The link to join is in the show notes of this episode. Get your picks in today. Okay, so key takeaways in this game. Number one, the defensive coverage shift. I already talked about it a little bit. But basically, the Wolves just don't have enough experience in running a non-drop pick and roll coverage at this point. Early in the game, Towns was mostly playing things correctly, but Enes Kanter was just rolling, and on the backside, Vanderbilt and for stretches of the first quarter, and in some situations it was Anthony Edwards, just weren't getting down and chipping the roller or getting in the way of him at the rim in time. And that was the biggest issue. And then as the game wore on, the Timberwolves, it seems like, basically just tried to match. The Blazers were fine playing small ball, and the Wolves were content to try and match that. Jaden McDaniels played really well in this game, but he only played 21 minutes. And Naz Reid only played 14. And this felt like, even though the Blazers were going small, the sort of game where you could have gone to Naz. And as long as he was getting in the mix defensively and, you know, showing the ability to at least get back and cover a bit on the backside, it might not have been a bad move. Difficult to really critique the rotation too much, though, because, again, the Wolves were in this game. They didn't really have any individuals. And this is a little bit of a spoiler for Studs and Duds that played a bad game necessarily. And so it was understandable that Finch did what he did with the rotation. The bigger issues in this game, however, the Wolves have had a rebounding issue all year, and they actually rebounded the ball really well in this game. Portland is middle of the pack rebounding wise in terms of rebound percentage, offensive rebounding. They're a bad defensive rebounding and also overall rebounding. Their total rebounds per game is kind of middle of the pack, but their defensive rebounding percentage is 28th in the league. And the Wolves just ate up offensive boards in this game. They had 19 on the game, which is insane. And you would expect, if that were the case, I mean, when you out offensive rebound the other team 19-7, you'd expect that maybe it's a game you'd win. In fact, total rebounding, they out rebounded them defensively as well. The Wolves won the rebounding category 56-34. And I could guarantee you, without even looking it up, they haven't out-rebounded a team by 20-plus boards all season long, and it doesn't happen very often for the Timberwolves. The problem was they also turned it over 18 times. The Blazers only turned it over 8 times. So the Wolves continually shot themselves in the foot with turnovers, and that was the, and we'll get into this next segment, another, I guess, a little bit of a spoiler. Jared Vanderbilt had 4 turnovers in 13 minutes. Jalen Noel had 3 turnovers as the de facto backup point guard with only one point guard on the roster. Ricky Rubio had a couple bad turnovers. He actually played fairly well, only had 3 on the game. But still, a couple of those were pretty bad. I mean, everyone in the starting lineup had 2 or more turnovers to their name. 18 in the game is not acceptable against a team of the offensive caliber of the Blazers, and also one of the league's worst defensive teams. Portland's 29th in defensive rating. It's not like Portland is a defensive juggernaut. Also notable, of those 18 turnovers, you would expect Portland would have a bunch of steals. No, they only had 6 steals. That means the Wolves had 12 turnovers that weren't the result of a live ball steal by Portland, which means they're throwing the ball out of bounds, traveling, offensive fouls. And 18 turnovers, you can't do that against, well, anybody, but especially a team like Portland. Another issue is free throw shooting, especially in the first half. The Timberwolves only shot 74% from the line in this game. The Blazers were 87%. And Minnesota missed 8 free throws on the game. I believe 7 of them were in the first half. They had a really bad stretch. Anthony Edwards missed a pair at one point. And you take Towns out of the equation, and the team really struggled from the free throw line. He was 8 of 8. You take him out, and the team was, what, 15 of 23, which is not great. So left several points at the line there in what ultimately was a 4-point game. So free throw shooting, not great. The turnovers were an issue. Rebounding was actually really good. And the defensive scheme change makes sense against a team like Portland. Damian Lillard ended up with a really good game. But again, so many of those assists were in the first half. Much of his scoring was done late, but he still only shot 7 of 19 from the field. And if you can force Dame to take 19 shots to get 25 points, I mean, he's going to score roughly that many points a night. I mean, just look at his averages, right? But if you can make him shoot 7 of 19, 3 of 10 outside the arc, he had the 10 assists in the game, but again, 7 of them were in the first quarter and 0 were after the midway point of the third quarter. So the Wolves actually did that fairly well. And again, Kanter's 20 points was not a function of Towns, you know, in one-on-one situations. That was Kanter as a roller and the Timberwolves' backside defense not helping enough. I can't stress that enough. This was not necessarily on Towns. As much as Towns has struggled in drop coverage, really up until recently. He'd done fairly well this year. So I wonder if this is a situation where the Wolves actually mix in both coverages, because obviously David Vanterpool is still the defensive coordinator. There's a pretty good chance that they actually do things depending on matchups. Now, Portland is a team that it makes a ton of sense to make their bigs beat you. Because remember, Kanter wasn't even in the game down the stretch. And that's why the Blazers are running a lot of pick and rolls with Carmelo Anthony, and you'd rather have Melo shooting mid-range jumpers than Kanter getting all the way to the rim. I know that Melo can shoot mid-range jumpers, and he actually had 26 points and 14 shots and got fouled a bunch and was really good, perfect at the free throw line. But I think in a pick-your-poison situation, you'd rather have that be what's going on than Lillard killing you in drop coverage because he's just raining threes on you. And he did that a couple of times. He had some tough shots. But the Wolves actually made Lillard's life fairly difficult in the second half of this game. It was Carmelo that hurt them down the stretch, and obviously Lillard's playmaking ability too is phenomenal. So those are the key takeaways. I'm very curious to see what this thing looks like on Sunday. I would think that the Wolves play similar coverage and not, you know, overthink things too much, because yes, they gave up 125 points, but I mean, Carmelo Anthony's not going to shoot 8 of 14 every night. Kanter's not going to shoot 8 of 12 every night. And if the Wolves can figure out the backside help thing, then they'll be in good shape on Sunday. So very curious to see what the defense looks like. Next, what I want to do is do individual studs and duds, then we'll wrap it up and look ahead to Sunday night's matchup between the Wolves and Blazers. Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, how much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, you need to subscribe to the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. There's no better time than March Madness if you're not already subscribed. Okay, let's talk individual studs and duds. I mentioned this earlier. I'll start with the duds because I don't know that there's many. I think you just got to call out two guys. They're both starters in this game. And one is Jared Vanderbilt. He had 3 points and 9 rebounds in 13 minutes, which was great. And he played hard, especially in the first quarter. His energy was infectious. He was scrambling on defense. He had 3 blocks as well. But 4 turnovers and some issues with backside help from Vanderbilt, I guess, has to put him on the duds list. Again, nobody really had a terrible game. But Vanderbilt is on the court for his defense, and it wasn't enough to keep him on the court. The 9 rebounds in 13 minutes is phenomenal because the Wolves don't have any other plus rebounders outside of Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, I've talked quite a bit about how Anthony Edwards, Naz Reid, Juancho usually don't rebound their positions very well or as well as they need to. Jaden McDaniels falls into that category. I mean, guys who are going to play the 4 and in Edwards' case, the 3 at his size and athleticism, they need to crash the glass and rebound better. So I guess we have to put Vanderbilt in that category because of the defensive issues and the turnovers. 4 in 13 minutes is far too many. And he didn't have any assists either, which Vando's a good passer. And so that's why I don't have any problem with him handling the ball in the half court, even though he's not a threat to shoot the ball really at all. He can create a little bit. So just a disappointing game from that perspective for him. And then Jake Layman got minutes down the stretch, was on the court in crunch time. He missed a big 3 when the Wolves were down 3 with a little over a minute left, I believe. It was an open attempt too. He was 0-4 outside the arc, 1-5 shooting for the game in 28 minutes, and had 3 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, had 2 turnovers. And again, wasn't terrible, but you know, missed a couple of big shots late, was on the floor as the Blazers made most of that run in the fourth quarter. And if you're going to play those crunch time minutes ahead of Jaden McDaniels or ahead of Naz Reid, then, ahead of Josh Okogie, then you just have to produce a little bit better. So those guys are each a dud for this game, because again, I feel like I got to pick somebody because that's the whole point of the segment, but they both were okay. Just not quite as good as some of the other guys on the team. So if you look at studs for the Timberwolves, obviously Karl-Anthony Towns had 34 and 10, 4 assists, 2 blocks and a steal in this game, only 2 turnovers for Kat. And he had the ball a ton. The Wolves really did run their offense through him. As I mentioned earlier, I thought he could have been a little more aggressive down the stretch. When he was catching the ball in the mid post, catching the ball in the perimeter, the Blazers weren't really bringing a double until he was closer to the low block. And I thought his decision making was very good. He did only have the 4 assists. Part of that was due to missed shots by his teammates. There were a couple of times where he tried to shovel a pass to the perimeter that got deflected out of bounds. It was dangerous, and he was lucky it wasn't a turnover, but he only did have the 2 turnovers. 12 of 21 shooting. You'll take that every day of the week for Towns. 8 of 8 from the free throw line, and 2 of 4 outside the arc. He only attempted 4 threes, and he was playing a lot more in the post in the second half while the Wolves were making their run, and it was working. And so why change that? But there have been these games recently where Towns just hasn't been attempting as many threes. And I know he's been struggling from outside the arc, but we all know he can shoot threes. And so that needs to find its way back into his game more consistently. Also in the stud category in this one is Jalen Noel. 17 points on 7 of 14 shooting, 3 of 6 outside the arc, and he did his thing as a sixth man, as in this game, the de facto backup point guard. He only had 1 assist to 3 turnovers, so that part wasn't great. But he was the only one of 2 guys on the bench that didn't have a negative plus minus. He was even in his 28 minutes, 17 points, 5 rebounds. Again, he's doing some of those ancillary things. Earlier this season, he wasn't rebounding. He wasn't racking up assists, steals, blocks, and he didn't, I guess, get really any of those. He had 1 assist, no steals, no blocks. But the 5 rebounds is encouraging for Jalen Noel. And being asked to do more, he did the point guard thing better the other night than he did against New Orleans, better than he did against Portland. But still, 17 points on 7 of 14 shooting. He didn't get to the free throw line, which you'd like to see him do more of on 14 shot attempts. He did make a couple of tough shots in the paint. But the majority of his scoring is being done from the 3-point line and in the mid range. He's very comfortable shooting floaters, shooting around the elbows, and doesn't get all the way to the rim all that frequently. Again, he did make a couple of tough shots, but he didn't get any whistles in this game, no free throw attempts. And I think that'll change here in the future. If I'm going to pick a third stud, this one's tough. It's either Anthony Edwards, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. He did take 18 shots, but he was 3 of 7 outside the arc, 2 of 4 at the free throw line. He was very good. Also, Naz Reid only played 14 minutes, but he was awesome. When he came in for Cat late third quarter, he was really good. Scored on 2 or 3 possessions in a row. I think maybe like 3 out of 5 possessions. 11 points, 4 rebounds in only 14 minutes. 4 of 9 shooting, got 4 free throw attempts, made 3 of them. So a good game for Naz, and I was disappointed we didn't see more of him at the 4 with Towns. And obviously a lot of that was due to the Blazers' rotations. I mean, they don't have a backup big, so Covington slides to the 5 and you put Melo at the 4 is primarily what they were doing. And so the Wolves didn't want to stick Naz on Carmelo Anthony, and I understand why. But I just felt like there could have been a couple stretches there where you could have tried it for a small stretch, and they didn't. So disappointed we didn't see more of Naz. Edwards was pretty good. I mean, he had a couple of downhill drives where he could have finished better at the rim. Certainly should have gotten more foul calls. There were a couple that he didn't get again, and this has become a theme. At some point, Ant's got to start getting some of those calls. But both Ant and Naz had good games. Also notable, doesn't fall in either of these categories, but Juancho Hernan Gomez saw second quarter minutes in this game, had 10 points and 8 rebounds in 24 minutes, 4 of 8 shooting, made 1 of 2 threes, and was active. It's hard for me to look at the box score and see Jaden McDaniels play less minutes than Juancho Hernan Gomez at this point, but it's hard to complain about Juancho's 10 and 8 in 24 minutes. Defensively, Jaden McDaniels is generally going to be your better option, and that, I think, is to me what the bigger issue is. I think the hope was that Hernan Gomez could assist in defensive rotations maybe a little bit better and understand the scheme better. I don't know that necessarily happened. I'd have to go back and rewatch parts of the game to see if Juancho's to blame for some of those defensive breakdowns at all. But it's you know, at least McDaniels got the 21 minutes. I think he was the first guy off the bench in the first quarter. And he played well. He had 5 points, made both of his shot attempts, made a tough open 3 at the buzzer of the, I think it was the third quarter, and almost was a 4-point play. So I would have liked to see him get some fourth quarter run, but we'll see if that changes at all on Sunday in the rematch against Portland. So, all around, though, a pretty good game from the Timberwolves. Again, 125 points in a regulation game is not what you want to see, but understanding that Portland is a really good offensive team and they shot the ball really well, and the Wolves basically kept pace with them. Now, again, Portland's a bad defensive team, but the Wolves have been a bad offensive team all year, and they didn't have their second leading scorer in Malik Beasley. They didn't have their second max contract player in D'Angelo Russell, And yet they were still able to put up 121 in four quarters. So hopefully the defense is a little better Sunday. We'll see what kind of coverage they're playing in the pick and roll and how they handle the Blazers offense and Damian Lillard and how they try and combat what the Blazers do and also those small ball lineups. It made it difficult. Again, Jaden McDaniels played a lot of three against the Pelicans, against their bigger lineups. He played some three in this game, but it didn't make a lot of sense for the Wolves to go Cat, Nas, Jaden McDaniels against a team like Portland. So we'll see if they try and dictate terms on Sunday and allow that to or make that happen from Chris Finch's perspective. But this is, I mean, the Blazers are a good team, but they're a team that the Wolves should be able to hang with, especially with no CJ McCollum and no Yusuf Nurkic and to a lesser extent, no Zach Collins. I mean, it's a team that even a Wolves team without Beasley should be able to hang with. So we'll see how Sunday plays out. Of course, we'll have a post-game pod that posts late Sunday / early Monday. So that'll be Monday's show. And then the rest of this week, I mean, there's plenty of trade talk. There were a couple rumors from Friday, Saturday that we'll get to on Monday's show. I just wanted to focus on Saturday's game in this episode. But there's plenty to talk about and obviously a packed schedule upcoming as well. Be sure, if you're not already, be sure to be subscribed to the podcast anywhere you get podcasts. And also follow on Twitter. I'll be on Twitter this evening live tweeting a bit from my account at bbeacon, 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. And also the show account. I'll tweet a little bit from there as well. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, for the record, I did not create that Twitter handle with the T. I, of course, would not have done that. There was a previous account without the T. And now we have the T after getting locked out of that one. So there we go. Make sure you're following both accounts. All right. Well, that's it for today's show. We'll be back after the game. Of course, Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.